In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today, in this cycle B, we're going to be looking at the seventh Sunday in ordinary time. Part one is going to go on with our consideration of Verbum Domini. And so we're going to look at paragraph 48, and perhaps, I think we're just about as far as we're going to get, because it's long, and it's packed. Here's the principle. The interpretation of sacred scripture would remain incomplete were it not to include listening to those who have truly lived the word of God, namely the saints. That's a remark of St. Gregory. Why? Because there you see the word of God alive, interpreted in a whole life. The life of the saints is a very profound exegesis of the Word of God. Next is a quote. Indeed, viva lectio est vita bonorum, a living understanding, a living reading, is the life of the saints, the good ones. The most profound interpretation of Scripture comes precisely from those who let themselves be shaped by the Word of God through listening, reading, and assiduous meditation. Along with assiduous meditation goes what? Being changed by the Word. That change takes root in us to the degree that we act on it. Take an example. You've heard it said, you know, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies. Oh, we heard it. What are we going to do? Well, we have to meditate on the depth of that until it has what the Pope is going to call later on in this document a performative function. Performative function is that the words affect what they signify. For instance, I now proclaim you man and wife. Or, I christen you the battleship John Jones or something. Those words affect what they signify. That battleship is John Jones forever. But it's only because of the societal agreement in those situations. The Word of God is performative because of its own power. It brings about what it signifies. So that if I simply meditate on this notion of, you know, loving my enemy. If I look at Jesus on the cross, praying for those who were laughing at him, insulting him, you know, just waiting for him to die, pretty soon my heart will change. And then I can give a living exegesis of that text. You see? It is certainly not by chance that the great currents of spirituality in the Church's history originated with an explicit reference to Scripture. Now, we've done some of this before. The places where the Word came to someone, transformed them, and through them, transformed Church history. First one, the Pope gives St. Anthony the Abbot, who was moved by hearing Christ's words, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." He was at Mass when he heard those words in Egypt. He was so moved. As soon as Mass was over, he went out. He put aside a certain sum of money. He was an orphan. A certain sum of money for his little sister. Confided it to a wise couple or a wise old man. I'm not sure which now. And gave all the rest away. just what the text said. He is the founder of all monastic and religious life. Saint Francis, he's, you know, many centuries later, 11 or 12, opened up the Bible. He was with Bernard, his disciple and friend. They got the same text. He did it to the letter, even walking off from his father naked. "You want your clothes back here?" And he walked off. Had nothing. And that began the whole revival of Western spirituality. Now, this is what St. Basil the Great says. What is the distinctive mark of faith? This is his answer. Full and unhesitating certainty that the words inspired by God are true. What is the distinctive mark of the faithful? Still St. Basil. Conforming their lives with the same complete certainty to the meaning of the words of Scripture, not daring to remove or add a single thing. You see the power of the words. Huh? That's what the Pope is talking about here. How the saints let those words have their way with them. Another one here is St. Benedict, and his rule refers to the Scriptures as a most perfect norm for human life. St. Francis, and this is from his biographer, the Pope points out, quoting Thomas of Celano, that upon hearing that the disciples of Christ must possess neither gold nor silver nor money, nor carry a bag nor bread, not a staff for the journey, no sandals, no two tunics, exulting in the Holy Spirit, immediately cried out, "This is what I want. This is what I ask for. For this I long to do with all my heart." St. Clare of Assisi shared fully in the experience of St. Francis. Quote, "The form of life of the Order of Poor Sisters," she writes, "is this, to observe the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you see the reverence they have for this text? The Word of God? And so, it changes their life. And through that, it changes the church. So too, St. Dominic, and this is from Jordan of Saxony's life of Dominic. Dominic showed himself everywhere to be a man of the gospel, in word and in deed. Carmelite St. Teresa of Avila, who in her writings constantly uses biblical images to explain her mystical experiences, said that Jesus himself revealed to her that, quote, "All the evil in the world is derived from not knowing clearly the truths of sacred scripture." Can you imagine? All the evil in the world. If everybody in the world were to apply themselves with goodwill to understand and act on the Holy Spirit's words in the Holy Scriptures, there'd be no war, there'd be no poverty, there'd be no broken marriages. Can you imagine? Okay. Later on, St. Therese, we've done some of these before, how she got in reading chapters 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians, she found her vocation to be love. And then in another place she says, "No sooner do I glance at the gospel, but immediately I breathe in the fragrance of the life of Jesus, and I know where to run." What makes the difference between them and us? Two things. They want to do it. And because they want to do it, they really understand it. If you go to the Bible and say, "Lord, just instruct me, whatever it says, I'm going to do," it'll open itself up for you. The Holy Spirit can't resist that kind of a openness. You see? Every saint is like a ray of light streaming forth from the Word of God. We could think of St. Ignatius of Loyola in his search for truth and his discernment of spirits, St. John Bosco in his passion for the education of the young, St. John Mary Vianney in his awareness of the grandeur of the priesthood as gift and task, St. Pio of Pietrelcina in his serving as an instrument of divine mercy. St. Jose Maria Escrivá, in his preaching of the universal call to holiness. Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, the missionary of God's charity toward the poorest of the poor, and then the martyrs of Nazism and communism, represented by St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, Edith Stein, a Carmelite nun, and by Blessed Aloysius Stepanak, the Cardinal Archbishop of Zagreb. What is the Pope telling us there? That the Word of God is so strong that it can carry us through great darkness, great suffering, with joy and love and courage. He goes on then to point out in the next paragraph, holiness inspired by the Word of God thus belongs in a way to the prophetic tradition, wherein the Word of God sets the prophet's very life at its service. This is extremely important, right? Because the church lives by prophecy. Lived prophecy, proclaimed prophecy. The Word of God living in a person, articulated by somebody who's living it, that's what the church lives by. Of course, we need all the other functions. But just ask yourself, like, who was Bishop in Assisi when St. Francis was there? Nobody knows. He must have been a very good man, I'm sure. But Francis? Or Mother Teresa? Because the Word of God is living and active in them. That's the finest exegesis, okay? The Holy Spirit who inspired the sacred altars is the same Spirit who impels the saints to offer their lives for the gospel. In striving to learn from their example, we set out on the sure way toward a living and effective hermeneutic explanation of the Word of God. We saw direct witness to this link between holiness and the Word of God during the 12th Assembly of the Synod, when four new saints were canonized on October 12th in St. Peter's Square. Gaetano Errico, priest and founder of the Congregation of the Missionaries of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary, Mother Mary Bernarda Butler, a native of Switzerland, should have been Butler then, and a missionary in Ecuador and Colombia, Sister Alfonsa of the Immaculate Conception, the first canonized saint born in India, and the young Ecuadorian laywoman, Narcisa de Jesus Martillo Moran. The reason they were canonized, right in the middle of this whole synod, was to remind us all that the exegesis of the sacred text is living in the lives of the saints. Through the intercession of these saints, canonized at the same time of the Synodal Assembly on the Word of God, let us ask the Lord that our own lives may be that good soil in which the divine sower plants the Word, so that it may bear within us fruits of holiness 30, 60, and 100-fold. And with that, the Pope ends that part one of his document. Next time, when we do this next week, we'll start part two, which is Verbum in Ecclesia. That is, the Word alive in the Church. And part of that, the most powerful part in a way, is going to be the Word at the liturgy, the normal, natural home for the Word.